The scripture reading will come from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And I will be reading out of the New King James Version. And it reads, "Pray without ceasing."
Good for us to be here on this morning. I want to let you know that if you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest, and we are very grateful for you being here. We have started a series of lessons concerning increase and how God is the one that gives the increase. And we discussed on last week how we are working with God, according to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 7 through 9. And in that working with God, we know that he that plants is nothing, and he that waters is nothing, but God gives the increase. Or in other words, God makes things grow. And we discussed on last week how this growth process is not only with humans, but also with his creation, and how God makes the lilies of the field and the grass grow, and God feeds the animals through his creation, and everything grows because of him. And so on this week, we want to talk about how we can increase our communication with God. And the reason why is because since we are working alongside with God, for we are his workmanship, we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, Ephesians 2:10, we want to know that God wants to communicate with us through his word, and we should have that desire to communicate with him. So if you will, hopefully, we will garner some things on this morning that I believe will help us. Praying without ceasing was the passage that was read in our hearing. There is so much in that one passage, in that flow of exhortations, if you will, by the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica. Paul only spent a few weeks with those good brethren there before he was ran out of there and went on to Berea. And so Paul was actually very concerned about their spiritual well-being. And so he sent word back. He sent letters back, if you will, to find out how they were doing. And Timothy brought word back that, well, the brethren there remembered you, and they are very concerned about you. They love you, and Paul was very encouraged by that. And in two letters that he sent back to them, he encouraged them as a mother does her children and as a father directs his children. And so when we think about communication, it is so important. And the reason why it's so important is because this is how we get information across. We get our information across to God through our prayers. Now, that's just one vehicle. And God gets his information across to us through his word. And with that being said, friends, we should have a desire to go to God in prayer, but also ask God to increase our desire to talk to him, to communicate with him. And the more I was thinking about this over the last 30 years of being a Christian myself, one of the difficulties is maintaining that prayer life. Because as people, we tend to lean upon our own understanding and will. Over the years, I've talked to people, and one thing that keeps coming up sometimes when I ask this question, well, have you prayed about that? No, I haven't. Have you studied about that? No, I haven't. Now, brethren, those are real answers that I've heard over the years. So this idea of increasing our communication with God is not far-fetched, because our communication with God actually demonstrates that we trust him. We rely upon him. And he's the one that's going to navigate our path. And so in Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1, the disciples were asking Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to communicate with God. Teach us how to pour out our hearts to him. Peter would say it this way, cast your cares upon him, Brother Royce, for he cares for you. And so the disciples wanted to know how to pray, how to communicate with God. And I believe that when I considered that, I was thinking more of that desire to communicate with God. Not just uttering words, because I've been guilty of that too. Been guilty of just uttering words so I can hurry up and get to my task. Friends, we have to slow down and realize who we're talking to. We're talking to the God of heaven. We're talking to the one that created all things through his Son. We're talking to the greatest being that we will ever communicate with. And so we should have a desire to talk to him. And so Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, how to communicate with the Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So if you will, turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Because his desire for the brethren was to also pray. But not just pray, but to continue in prayer. And so the more I considered this, and I thought about other passages that I could have inserted, I thought about how sometimes we have to be encouraged, admonished to pray, not just one time, not just two times, but it should be like a diet. It should be something that we do continually, lest we find ourselves leaning again on what we think instead of relying upon him. And so in Colossians 4, verse number 2, as we continue more of some of these introductory thoughts, continue earnestly, notice, in prayer, in communication with God, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Now, notice what's attached to it, friends. Thanksgiving. Now, one thing that God loves, he loves a thankful person. He loves that. As a matter of fact, he is actually good to the unthankful and the unholy. He's a good God, but he desires for us to be a thankful people. One, from the heart we give unto him. Notice, meanwhile, praying also for us that God will open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. If we take notice of this, notice verse number 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. The more I was considering this and thinking about how Paul desired for the brethren to continue earnestly in prayer, friends, we ought to be encouraging one another. We ought to be asking God to help us increase our communication with you. God gives the increase. God desires for us to really reach out to him, if you will. And he's not far from us. If we would just open up our minds and our hearts and be faithful to him, he will hear what we have to say, 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. Now turn to Romans 12. Because in that, we see that doors should be open if we pray. Doors of opportunity. And we'll have more to say about that here in a few minutes. Because if we're going to increase our desire to communicate with God, we have to know, what are we communicating? Why are we communicating? For what purpose? Is it just for me? Is it just for my family? Is it just for my well-being? Or should I be praying for those who are on the outside in hopes that they will come in contact with someone who is a member of the Lord's church, the church of Christ? Look at verse 12. Again, that idea of continuing, not a one-off, not something that you do every now and then. He says, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. You see that? Steadfastly. This is not something that I just do every now and then or when I think about it. So I confess, studying this, thinking through this, sometimes I get lazy in my prayers, in my communication. Friends, it can happen to all of us if we're not careful. And I asked myself this question as I was looking at this, pondering through these passages. Brother Chad, why did he say that? Why did he have to encourage the Romans to continue steadfastly? Because it is possible for us not to do so. Amen? It is. And so God, give us the increase in what? In a desire to communicate. Because sometimes the desire is not there. Sometimes the desire is to just hurry up and utter some words so I can get moving. And we treat each other that way. We treat our spouses that way. And friends, when we treat God that way, it's reflected in our thought processes and in our lives. Go back to Colossians chapter 1. Paul wanted his people, the people of God, the Lord's church, the church of Christ, he wanted them to have a desire to pray for certain things as we move into our second point. But in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, he wanted his people, the people of God, to seek some things. For this reason, verse number 9, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now watch this, brethren, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And we put people on the prayer list for various reasons. And rightfully so, we ought to be putting people on the prayer list. Because people need our prayers. And there's nothing wrong with that. When is the last time someone said, put me on the prayer list that I may have more spiritual understanding? More wisdom. That when I go to God's word and I attain this knowledge that God, James 1 and verse number 5, helps me to understand it and put it into place. Put it into practice. When is the last time we ever just asked the church, I need to increase my desire to have more understanding and wisdom in the word of God and how to apply it to make not only my life better, but the life of those who are in my family, yea, those in the world. Friends, that's good study right there. That's not Mike Bonner. That's the word of God. And so notice what Paul is praying for. Have this desire. Increase in these things. Be steadfast in it. Don't let it fall by the wayside. And so notice what he says in verse number 10. In order that you may walk worthy of the Lord. So why should I increase in these things? I want to walk worthy of the Lord. I want to be fully pleasing unto him. I want to bring forth fruit in every good work. And increasing, there it is, in the knowledge of God. I want to know more. I want to know more about God. I want to be strengthened with all might. I want to be strong in the Lord. Father, increase our communication. Increase our desire to communicate. Again, we communicate through prayer. God communicates through his word. It's a beautiful communication when we do it. Question and answer it for yourself. When is the last time you just earnestly desire to pray for just more spiritual knowledge, understanding, wisdom? When is the last time you just prayed for that? God says, I want to give you wisdom, and I want to give it to you, if I can put it in my own words, by the boatload. Literally, and upbraid it not. It is so easy, again, the third time I'm saying this, to lean on our own understanding, what we think is right. Well, it has to be right. I'm thinking it. I'm a good person. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I go to church Sunday and Wednesday. I mean, it has to be right. No. No. Been married almost 30 years. I know how it is to be wrong. Been told plenty of times. And never blowing up a couple times, Brother Brian be like, she don't know what you're talking about. You get over there and you hush your mouth. You don't know what you're talking about. Sometimes we do God just that way. So what do? We give him the silent treatment. We don't talk to him. God, increase our desire to communicate with you. Even when I'm upset, angry, disturbed, befuddled, belittled. I can go on and on and on with all of the adjectives. Friends, I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to me. Tell folk all the time, Brother Dietrich, every Sunday I got to get up here. Regardless of what I'm going through, I got to get up here. You know, sometimes when we don't feel good, we just call in. It don't work that way. The same word that communicates with you and strikes you in your heart, it's the same word that does me that way. Praise God. God is no respecter of persons. So, point two, what should we pray for? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. We should pray for man's salvation. Now, I put it under this umbrella on purpose. But there is so much going on in Paul's letter to Timothy, especially in the second chapter in the first five verses. So much going on. So we're just going to extract a couple of points there because we got to keep it moving. I got some other things I need to say. He said, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority. Why? That we, notice he puts himself in the equation, may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness, that's piety, that's uprightness of mind and life, and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, I want us to focus in on verse number 1 and 2. The reason why, under this umbrella of man's salvation, it is so important for us to ask God to increase our desire to pray for those who are in authority so we can have the road of the gospel to continue to go forth. We don't need the government or anybody else getting in the way of the gospel going out. So we need to be praying for those who are in authority. Just yesterday or this morning, I saw that, well, RFK, he situated some things that now they're looking at how we eat. And he's put some things in place on how we eat. And I'm like, man, that's great. That's powerful. That's wonderful. We ought to be praying for that more so people can be in better shape and so they can mind, so their minds can think and they can hear the gospel and obey it. Therefore, they're not a slave to food. Therefore, they're not a slave to themselves. We need people who are in an authority to make sure that we can take the gospel to the world. Amen. We don't need people holding up and hindering the gospel. We got enough hindrances ourselves. We need to be praying for those who are in authority. And sometimes we forget. One thing that Brother Royce does all the time, he always prays for the military. Pray for those who are working EMS and policemen and firemen. He always praying for them. Pray for those who are in authority. We need those prayers. We need to be reminded of that. Why? Because people put their lives on the line every day for us to have the freedoms that we have. Don't take it for granted. Maybe what needs to happen is some of our children need to see some of the movies of what it took for us to get here. The reason why we can preach the word the way we are in this building right now is because some people died for us to have freedom of speech, freedom of religion. And we can preach the word. Because there's some countries you can't do what we're doing right now. Amen. Can't do it. They'll lock you up. And there's nothing wrong with that either. However, if the road of the gospel can be paved by those who have went on before us, we need to keep it going. We need to be praying for those who are in authority. And if you notice what Paul there says, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Friends, the more I considered this, it made me think about what Solomon said in Proverbs 14 and verse number 34, where he says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That is so true. We want to pray that our nation at least allows righteousness to be exalted. That should be our prayer. And we ought to be saying, Father, help us to have that desire to keep praying for those who are in authority so men can be saved. So men can see Jesus Christ and him crucified. So men can have the hope of eternal life. But go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Don't have time to really delve into all of the passages that I have in mind here. But if you will, just write these down. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1, 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1, and also Hebrews 13:18. And it's interesting, in all three of those passages, Brother Ryan, he said, y'all pray for us. Pray for us. Not only do those who are leaders and those who are in authority need prayers, Paul, an apostle and preacher and teacher and minister of Jesus Christ, says, pray for us. Pray for us. That ought to tell us something, that we need to be praying for the brethren. And that's literally what it says in the New King James rendering. Brethren, pray for us. Father, increase our desire to pray for one another and have the courage to ask brethren to pray for us. Y'all keep Eric in your prayers. He's very sick this morning when I talked to him. Keep him in your prayers. Keep the Thompson family in your prayers. I haven't seen them. I've chatted with them a little bit. Y'all keep them in your prayers. Oh, yeah, we've been very transparent. You go back and tell them. Yeah. It's interesting. We leave it to the world to be open and honest and transparent. And in the pulpit, we want them to shut up. Nope, not here. Need prayers. Pray for the brethren. Some of y'all need being prayed for. You need to be prayed for. Need to take your name and your situation to the throne of God. Father, increase our desire to communicate with you. Because if we don't, then we're going to hide in our own mind and we're going to find ourselves in trouble. And the last place you need to be, according to what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, is when you fall, you're by yourself. That's the last place you need to be. And so, 1 Thessalonians 5:25, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse number 1, Hebrews 13 and verse number 18, pray for us. What are we going to pray for? That we walk wisely, that we ask for wisdom, that we embrace this wisdom. And so, friends, is your desire to pray to God more? Again, notice Colossians 4. Look at verse number 7. Let me tell you what we ought to be praying for. We ought to be praying to be like Tychicus. I remember I did a study on Tychicus about 10 years ago, maybe even longer. And the more that I was looking at him and studying about him, there are many things said about him, but his name just kind of is sprinkled and salted in the New Testament. I'm like, who is this young man? Who's this guy? Notice what Paul says about Tychicus. He called him a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. He trusted him. He said, he will tell you all the news about me. And I'm sending him to you for this very purpose. The more I thought about Tychicus, there are so many things about Tychicus. Do your study. Look at it for yourself. And notice the type of man Tychicus was. You'll find him also in the book of Philippians. Also in the book, I believe, 2 Timothy chapter 4. You'll find Tychicus. Who is this guy? Who is this man of God? Friends, we ought to be praying that we have Christian character like Tychicus. Imitate people like Ruth. Oh, yes. I couldn't put this lesson together and not put a sister in there. That's an ER, not an A. Ruth said, your God would be my God and your people would be my people. Those are the type of people we need to be imitating. Father, help me to be like Tychicus. Help me to be like Ruth. Help me to be like Nehemiah. I'm not coming down from this wall, even though the enemies are trying to stop me. I'm not coming down. I'm doing a great work. Shall a man like myself run? That was his attitude. He said, no, sir. I was telling the young people in class, you know, just because you're a Christian don't mean you can't stand up for yourself. Amen. We just want to bend over all the time and allow people to just get over on us all the time. No, sir, no, ma'am. Stand up for yourself, but do it in a Christ-like manner. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The word of God teaches us how to do that. But if you leave it to the world, they teach the Christians how to act as Christians. No, the word of God teaches me how to act as a Christian. And how to behave, and how to be strong. And I do that not only in the world, but even in my own family. I need to be like Tychicus. I need to be like Ruth. I need to be like Nehemiah. Oh, I need to be like Esther. For such a time as this, God raised her up. Such a time as this. We need to be praying for our families. Put your seatbelts on. Friends, our familial conduct is so important. And we should have a desire in the family, in the home, to communicate with God together. Oh, yes, it's okay to pray individually because we're individuals. We're Christians. And we're going to stand before Jesus Christ to give an answer to things that we have done in this body by ourselves. However, we're families. And families ought to strive to be a people who communicate with God together. When is the last time you did that? Y'all pray for the Clark family. Kerry Clark lost his grandson the other day. Bad car accident. Brian, he sends the elders a text, called Brian. You know what that man said? He's not saying this. I'm saying this about it. He said, my wife and I, we prayed for them. Man, that was so encouraging. That was such a great blessing for me to hear that. Why? Because here, together, we're going to go to God on behalf of our brother and his family. Friends, when I heard that, that hurt me because Kerry Clark is a good man. He's a godly man. He's a great preacher in the Lord's church. I don't want to see my brother hurting. I don't want to see his family hurting. And so what do? We go to God in prayer. We need to do that. So you hear something about your brother, hear something about your sister in Christ in the Lord's church. Men, raise up. Pray with your families for those other brethren. And it demonstrates to your children and to your family that it's not only about us. It's not only about the Bonner family, but it's about the family of God. But also, how about those who are on the outside? Friends, we need to be praying for them. And so when someone on the outside is asking for prayer, you know, this is what I've learned. And I learned it from that young man right there, Leon Martinez. We're going to pray right now. Because it never fails. Someone asks you to pray for them, and you go about your day, go about your business, and they say, hey, man, I appreciate you praying for me. And in your mind, you know you haven't uttered a word on their behalf. Been there. But when someone says, pray for me, if you can, do it right then. Did it just the other day. Do it right then. Or remember, at the earliest convenience, pray for that individual. And use that as an opportunity to glorify God, to encourage them, and perhaps put them in a position that they'll increase their faith to want to sit down and have a Bible study. Increase our communication. Increase our desire to communicate. I know for a fact that it's difficult to communicate all the time. And sometimes, being married again, my wife ought to know what I'm thinking, even though it never came out my mouth. She ought to know. Why? Well, I live with her. You know, we do God the same way. Friends, God wants to hear from us. And so we pour out our hearts. I reminded old Hannah in the scriptures. And I believe it was Eli who saw her. Her mouth was moving. He didn't hear anything. God saw her heart, but saw her mouth moving too. Father, increase our desire to pray, to communicate. And so, brethren, fathers, stand up and take headship seriously. Sisters, motherhood is hard. I know Evelyn used to say, the hardest thing I ever did was raise kids. That's true. I saw her. It was hard. Why? You're dealing with mentalities. You're dealing with personalities. You're dealing with character. You're dealing with free moral ages. And it's hard. It's difficult. But you're doing the best job. Why? Because God gave it to you. There's no better job out there than a mother that is taking care of her children, whether she's at home or she's Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, and she got a field, she's going out there, she's working hard, and she's establishing the kingdom through her hard work. You see how we balance that out? I didn't just say, you know, if you're a stay-at-home mom, you're the best thing cooking. Or if you go out there and you work, you're not. Didn't say that. Oh, no. You ain't going to hang me like that. I know better. Been there, done that. Here's the point. We need more mothers who are actually going to communicate with God and be the mother that God wants them to be. And it's not easy. Children, we have to see you appreciate the value of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and the value of praying to God and the value of your parents. We need to be praying. We need to communicate with God. And our prayer ought to be, Father, give me that desire to talk to you more. Give me that desire. Help me not lean on my own way of thinking. And that's so as a family unit, we demonstrate to the world and to one another that we're God's wisdom. Learned this from Brother Corey Hall some years back. The greatest counseling is when the people of God are doing what God says. Oh, yes. We get to lean on one another. We get to talk about God's word with one another, Malachi 3, verses 16 through 19. We get to confess our faults to one another, James 5, 16 through verse 20. We get to pray for one another. Looking for opportunities, having a desire. It's almost like I'm seeking an opportunity to pray to God. Hey, what do we need to talk about? What do we need to deal with? What do we need to go through? Hey, I need prayer in this. I can't. I'm just waiting for you to say something so I can go to God on your behalf. Just looking for opportunities to communicate with God. And so as we close with the last point, I've enjoyed this study. I've enjoyed thinking about it. But I'll be honest with you, I guess I enjoyed it really just preaching it because it makes sense. It makes sense because I know how it is to give my wife the silent treatment. I know how that is. But I know how it is to give the God of heaven silent treatment too. I know how that is too. And you do too. Because when people hurt you, people betray you, people cross you, sometimes what we do is we blame it on Jehovah. Mm-mm. Don't blame it on him. He ain't done nothing wrong. And everybody used to say this, why are you taking it out on God? He didn't do anything wrong. That's true. Why do we do that? Father, increase our desire to communicate. And so, last week I said that I was going to end this lesson with some more encouragement for one another. I have a few. Father, increase our encouragement for one another and help us as we ask you to help us to have the same mind, one with another. Romans 12, verse number 16. It is so hard, especially when you look at this world around you. It is so divided. It's almost chaotic that people are looking for opportunities to divide friends, not the church, not the Lord's people. I'm so glad to be working with brethren who love to bring it together, looking for opportunities to keep it strong. Hearing words, this is the greatest work right here, the local work. Hearing those words, working together, being one like our God is. Amen. Are y'all with me? We ought to be striving to be of the same mind toward one another. But that requires work. That requires sacrifice. That requires me going to God in prayer, going to his word, applying it to my life. And so we need to encourage one another to keep division away, to have no schism among us, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25, but have the same care for one another. Those one another passages, they flood the New Testament. It's so powerful. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 18, we should ask for wisdom to comfort one another. Father, my brother needs me, but I just don't know what words to say. Next thing you know, I'm reading the book of James, or I'm reading the book of Timothy, I'm reading the book of Proverbs. No, I was just reading this the other day. You think this might help you? So I let you into my heart. A few weeks ago, I was battling bitterness. Talking to my good brother Brian, and he said some things he didn't even know he said, but he brought some things up. And all of those years of studying started flooding my mind. And I just started weeping. Because that man didn't even know. And I said, Brian, you don't even know what you said, but this is what you said. And I appreciate that. I tell you publicly, I love you, man, for that. I was able to go to God in prayer. Father, I'm sorry. I don't want to be like Esau. Having the root of bitterness. Finding myself hateful and mad and angry at people. For what? I want that out. For what? So I can live free. And I've been free ever since. I'm telling y'all, you better have that desire to pray. And you study. You put all those things together and things begin to make sense. And so we should ask God for wisdom to comfort one another. And so we love each other. And the world will know that you are his disciples by the love you have one for another. And so we want God to increase our love. But I leave you with this, Mark 9, verse 50. We want God to increase our peace. Now, the more I desire to want to communicate with God, the more at peace I am. The absence of hostility, tranquility, having that joy, even though the situation might not be good, might not be the best. However, I'm a member of the Lord's church, the church of Christ. I've been baptized into Christ. I obeyed the gospel. Now I'm on my way to heaven. Peaceful. Regardless of what comes my way, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I do know this. As long as I die in the Lord, I have an opportunity of hope, and God doesn't lie. Let's have a word of prayer. I offer the invitation, and the lesson is yours. Holy God and Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thank you for your word and the time you've given us to go into it, to learn who you are, who your son is, to understand your word, that we may be able to apply it. Father, we need a greater desire to communicate with you and to have you communicate with us through your holy, divine, all-sufficient, infallible word. Father, we're thankful that you don't make mistakes. We're thankful that you're pure. And we're thankful that you're merciful unto us. In other words, Father, we're thankful that you put up with us. Help us to have a desire to tap into that mercy, into that grace, into your long-suffering, your patience. Father, we know those whom you love, you correct. Help us to tap into that, Father. Help us have a desire to have enough strength that when we're not doing what's right and thinking right, that we have enough strength to face you. And to make anything right that needs to be made right. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Help us to be strong, not just as individuals, but as families, as the church family, and not just here locally, but universally. Help us to be a beacon of light for those on the outside, that they may see our good works and glorify your Son.
Father, that would be enough. Again, Father, help us to be found worthy on that day. When Christ comes back, we can stand before him blameless and holy. And hearing those words, well done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider the gospel message. You've heard it. You've heard the plan of salvation. It's still a plan. Man can get away from it all they want to, but God still has a plan. You got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You must be willing to repent of your sins and confess Christ to be Lord and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And yes, it's for the remission of sins. It's not because you've already had your sins remitted. No, it's for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. Be faithful. And being faithful is recognizing when you have sinned. Recognizing when you have missed the mark, Ephesians 1 and verse number 7. But if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1 and verse 9. Maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer. Let's pray for you. Stop trying to do it on your own. It doesn't work, I promise you. God designed us to lean upon him. Let's do that. And let us be praying to God that he increase our desire to communicate with him more. As we stand and as we sing, our Savior's invitation.